And now you're listening to Ecologic. My name is Bernie Steffen, and this is my third show here. So forgive if I fumble any of the technical stuff here today, but I'm really delighted to have a very special guest here. He was my teacher at improv, and don't hold that against him because if I'm not doing well today, but I can lean on him today to do something that I've never done before. So
it's been a while since you've been to my class, so we'll
catch you up. We'll do a refresher today. How about that?
So the voice you're hearing is Matt Zumsteg. He's a Santa Rosa producer he's an improv comedian. He was my teacher, as I mentioned. And they began producing at the age of 18 with local public access sketch comedy right here at Santa Rosa High. And so I'll tell you more about Matt a little bit later. But today, our show is taking a strange turn. I named it Evil Improv. And that's a name that Matt created. And there's a program we'll tell you a little bit about more later that's called Evil Improv. That's Monday nights here in Santa Rosa.
Yep.
But that's just a teaser, so stay tuned. And it's Eco Follies because I've been serious about ecological issues for quite some time. And I hear a lot of what I think is funny, but other people don't think what I say is funny. So I know that in improv, you don't have to start off trying to be a comedian. You just have to let down your guard, and you just have to become someone who goes with the flow of a conversation, of a skit that it turns into based on two or today, I'm hoping three people joining in. You know,
let's shoot for three. Let's shoot for three to maybe four.
That would be nice.
Get four people call in.
So if you need to write it down, grab a pencil, 707.
Not a pen.
755-9250. So 707-755-9250. It's only one line, so if you hear somebody on the air, wait your turn till they hang up, and then we'd love to hear from you.
Be patient.
So we want this participation because we think improv is better with three.
Yeah. I mean, if you had been coming to class, Bernie, for the past couple months, I'd say the two of us could pull it off. But we're going to need a third, I think. So at least three is always safe. Somebody, an extra safety net, you know, if you fall.
Yeah, Matt, I don't know about this, but you have been involved in the past with a project about Logan. What is that about?
So, I just released a documentary last August called Your Friend Logan, and it's available if you want to watch it on Vimeo, Vimeo On Demand / Your Friend Logan, I believe, is the web address. But, it was a friend of mine who, actually, you were saying, you know, talking about when I did my first sketch comedy show on public access here in Santa Rosa.
Right.
I was taking the ArtQuest program, and at the time, there was the Community Media Center on campus at Santa Rosa High School, and they lent out equipment if you just took a class. And so I made a sketch comedy show, and Logan was in a band called Little Tin Frog, which was locally popular. They played a style of music they called geek rock, where it was it wasn't very cool, but it sounded great. It was like they might be giants or something, more oddball.
Does
but
Santa Rosa High have a studio?
They did, yeah.
It did?
Yeah,
no longer?
Maybe they still do for their ArtQuest classes there.
Oh, good, good.
But
good.
Yeah, it was a separate media center that was running the local public access station at the time. And as long as you put whatever you filmed on air, they needed content, they would give you the equipment to film it with, so...
took advantage of something that was there.
Absolutely.
And good for you.
Right. And it was, there was a lot of resources for me, actually. I mean, on the topic of local, all of my training has been local. Everything that I've learned or done has been in town, pretty much in Santa Rosa. So anything that I do that's impressive today, thank, you know, the local community and teachers and resources at my disposal. But anyways, I approached this band to do a theme song for the sketch comedy show that I was doing for the Media Center on Public Access. And you can see that too. There's old clips of it on my YouTube channel. Look up Matlock Zumsteg on YouTube. But Logan was the drummer. And the band pointed to Logan and said Logan should do the theme song.
Okay.
He ended up doing the theme song, and he gave me a cassette tape with, I think it was his second or third solo album. He'd sit in his room, and he would use whatever was at his disposal. Even his friends would come in, and they would do little sketches, and he'd work them into songs, and he'd write songs for his friends. And he wrote, I'd say, like six, I think, albums total, maybe over like 150 songs by himself.
Was he inspirational to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so he gave me this cassette tape of what he'd done, and I was so blown away. I was like, this is the guy who's doing my theme song? It's like I know Weird Al now. I know this guy who's so talented. And for years, I tried to get him on the radio, but his music was very, again, like, the only band I can really compare it to is They Might Be Giants or something that's a little more oddball and not something very radio playable, but still he was so multi-talented. He was an artist. He did copperplate print artwork.
Yeah.
He did anything he tried, he was good at. And so this documentary, he passed away, unfortunately, of brain cancer at the age of, I believe, 27, 28.
Well, thank you for giving us a little of the backstory there. That's useful. Can I switch us to Ecologic as a program theme
today? Yeah, it's
today.
A lot funnier than my dead friends.
So yeah. But we want to hear more about your life and what you're working on and what you're looking forward to.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm wondering, do you ever hear people say crazy things about, I'm doing this in order to save the planet? Can you get us on a sketch about that idea?
Doing crazy things, or rather doing oddball things to save the planet. Okay. All right, so just start a scene. You want to jump into it? Well, hey, Peter, I noticed that you've been hanging out by the drinking fountain, and, you're not on shift. I mean, you're on your break, that's fine, but I noticed that you've been saving the paper cup and putting it in your pocket and just carrying it around all day.
Well, are you for killing trees?
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, there's lots more paper cups. I mean, if you want to just...
Oh, yeah, sure, there's lots more paper cups.
Yeah, well, there are. I mean, they're disposable. They're called...
Yeah, well, where do those cups come from?
Well, the dispenser right next to the water.
But how'd they get there, dude?
Well, I mean, we have a guy replace them when he replaces the water. I mean, it's they're disposable. I'm just saying, you've been carrying a lot of paper cups around in your pockets, and they're starting to make a mess around your desk. And
well, do you know how that's affecting the planet?
Not really.
Do you want me to tell you?
If you must, I mean, we got 5 minutes till we got to be back at work. But
well, this is important, fella.
Well,
you know, they make these cups out of paper. That paper comes out of trees. Those are trees that used to be living beings that they're cutting up, and then they're cutting some more and cutting some more, and then you just think this is a disposable cup?
Well, okay, let me get this straight. Paper comes from trees, and the trees are... Okay, this is a lot. Trees are alive.
Yes.
Okay, this is a lot to process. I don't really, I didn't go to school. I just sort of, I was raised here in the office building.
You've never met a tree?
I've never been outside, so, and there's no potted plants. All the potted plants in here are fake, so I assume they were all not living things.
Feed me, Seymour.
All right, that's a good place to end it. I have a tattoo of Audrey II on my right shoulder. How did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that, but
well, now you know.
That's TMI.
Yeah, I'd show you, but it's radio. But
No, I don't need your tattoos on the air.
It's the only one.
If this was video right now, certainly we want to see it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
The ones that I'm allowed to show. that was fun.
Yeah.
I had no idea where to go with that, but we went. That's all you do with improv. You just go.
Yeah. Well, do you think we're on a path to extinction?
I have debated that on and off throughout my life since I was a child. I've been in an existential crisis about it. My father was a Jehovah's Witness, and he was very adamant that there was no way to turn things around from where they're at without God's intervention.
Okay.
And
so why don't you act out that your dad and that God intervention?
Sure, you know.
I would love that.
I have therapy tomorrow, so I might as well do the Gestalt.
Well, you could practice therapy, right? For therapy.
Yeah,
I think
sure,
it helps to practice.
Yeah, let's see. So I'll sit on this side, I'll be my dad, and then I'll sit on the other side, I'll be me. Okay.
No. You can't be both. I'm going to be one
of
them.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you can play me or my dad. Who do you
want? I'll play your dad,
okay.
But you got to give
me
some hints.
Sure. So go ahead and start.
Well, tell me a little about...
Well, hey, Dad, I love you, and I'd like to connect with you, and it seems all we connect over is movies, or else it becomes something religious, and you really try and convert me. What do you want to talk about today, Dad?
Oh, God. Sorry. I know you don't want to talk about God, but, you know, we all need God.
You sound just like him.
Matlock, I'm sorry that you do reject God. Are you an atheist?
No, I'm open to all beliefs and ideas, really, Dad. I try and take everything that I can from wherever it seems like.
Even the devil?
No, I mean, the Satanists do have some pretty good, if you've ever looked at, like, their satanic laws, they're actually pretty right on. But that's not, I mean, whatever. It's that's separate subject, Dad. Today, I think you
want to talk. There's no separate from God. He is everywhere all the time,
right?
And everything.
Yeah.
So how can you say it's separate from that?
Oh, well, I mean, really, I think that the topic we should be talking about is whether we can turn the earth back from where it's at without God's intervention, right? That's what you...
It seems like a pretty big job,
yeah.
And I know there's only one fellow I know who I would trust with doing that.
Yeah,
do you want me to tell you about him?
It's definitely a man, too. Yeah, I, you know what? I think that the internet has made us able to communicate and connect in a way that has never been possible. And the youth are growing up with technology so advanced at their fingertips that they will have mastered by the time they're in their 20s and 30s, that there's a good chance that things can turn around very quickly.
There's an example of something when I was talking about the devil before.
Mm-hmm.
I think the internet is a tool of the devil.
Oh, okay. Well, you use it all the time, Dad, and I know that you masturbate a lot, so...
Oh, come on. We're on the air. You want to expose your dad?
He's dead. There's not much I can do.
Matlock, you're saying I'm dead?
Oh, no.
I'm playing a dead person?
Yeah, no, Dad, I just wish you were... No, I'm kidding. Wow, I really need to go to therapy tomorrow.
I think we need a third person.
I'm not even awake yet, Bernie, and I'm still having, I had nightmares about my dad probably last night, and now you're just tapping straight into them.
Something else that bothers you about me, please.
Oh, yeah, Dad. What else bothers me about you? Well, you're a raging narcissist.
Narcissist?
Yes, yeah, and I knew you'd
react
that
way. Just because I know most everything?
Well, you do. Especially if it's in the Bible, you know it by heart. And that's
well, that
really
took a lot of work,
so.
And you should try it.
Oh, I know. Well, you have autism and ADHD. You're just undiagnosed. And the problem is that your focus, your hyper-focus is the Bible.
So you
people.
Got a therapist license?
No, and you wouldn't go anyway or listen to my advice because you're not allowed to because of your religion. If I did, but I'm just saying
my religion serves me just fine. I don't need your devilish input.
That's fine. It serves you. It just doesn't serve me and Mom, and you're just sort of ruining our lives.
Oh, now I'm ruined Mom's life too.
Oh, I mean, that's pretty obvious. She tells you that all the time, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
I mean,
in a loving way, she says that.
I mean, from the other room you sleep in, yeah, I'm sure she says.
Well,
lots
you don't know what our pillow talk is.
You must scream through both your doors to actually have any pillow talk since you haven't slept together in years. But
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So you're airing my dirty laundry here on the air?
Well, I did find that thing in your drawer when you moved to Missouri, and you told me to dispose of it along with the bag of condoms. You said it was just a gag.
I hope God isn't listening right now.
I hope my dad isn't listening right now. I hope he wasn't right and he didn't. Well, he wasn't one of the 144,000.
So now that I'm talking from the grave to you here, Matlock, could you tell me something nice about me?
Oh, well, you really liked music and you were in radio and that got me into music. And I wrote you a nice letter about it on your deathbed that they read to you over and over again.
Yeah, but that. I didn't have my glasses,
no,
so I couldn't read it.
Yeah, you couldn't speak.
Could you tell
either,
me what it said?
It said, gosh, I wonder if I still have the letter. Thank you. I'm eating biscuits and gravy right now, thinking about you, and you gave me my first guitar, and you gave me an appreciation for music and so much other stuff that really I can't think of right now because you've ruined my life. But I didn't say that part. Actually, yeah, strike that last part. But all the nice stuff I said, I put it in a letter and then they read it to him.
Well, I appreciate that.
This is the oddest, most personal improv scene I've ever done in my life. Bernie,
well, we're not done.
You.
We're just getting started.
I commend you. My gosh.
But I got to ask the listeners, do you want to just hear us two do this? or do you think we can do better with you giving us a prompt that comes from whatever you're into?
Local
okay.
Issues. How do you get?
You
more
can
local
tell us about
recycling.
Your parents if you want to. I don't care.
Yeah, just, I told you about mine. Now it's your turn. It's only fair if people call in and tell us their most personal traumas from childhood.
I already put too much stuff on Facebook.
This is all the stuff I don't post.
So I'd like to hear from our underwriters right now. So let's take a quick break.
Oh, that was fun.
Cows Radio would like to thank the Sebastopol Kiwanis Club for their support. They are in their 52nd year as a hands-on community service club with emphasis on the needs of youth in West County. Their website, SebastopolKiwanisClub.org, contains events and contact information about the organization.
Cows Radio thanks Community Market of Sebastopol for their ongoing support. Community Market is a worker-run natural food store providing our community with organic food products since 1975. Located at the Barlow, 6762 Sebastopol Avenue in Sebastopol, you can reach them by phone at 707-407-4020.
We're back.
Well, someone left the cake out in the rain in the background of that song, so or the commercial, so I had to.
Ooh, yeah, thank you for that. Callback, is that called, or what is that?
I guess, I mean, it was a cover, like it was a radio background. Like, my dad was in advertising and radio for years. He started KMEL in San Francisco, and then okay. He worked at KCST and stuff. I don't know what you'd call that, but it's cheesy guitar background music for an advertisement.
Just so you know, Matlock, I know nothing about music. I chose a theme song. Uh-huh. I played it the first time, but it was just one more thing to give me a half to that was technical here on the board. And I wanted to get to the microphone and not do all of the finger fumbling that goes with this job.
Save yourself some trouble. Just sing your own theme song and you can make it up every time.
Well, you can sing
the same every time.
You can sing. Could
sure.
you offer me one just ad lib right now? Get close to the microphone, please.
Well, I'm pretty loud, so you might not want me too close. Let's see.
I can always fade you down.
So, Ecologic, it's so logical it hurts. It's on Cows 92.5 FM today for so cheap, it's free. Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you, yeah. Matlock. You're not afraid. So let's talk about Evil Comedy. You chose that name, and it's a group that meets tonight at 7 o'clock.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how did you come up with this group, and what is it about?
So in, I want to say 2008 or so, I thought I was going to move to LA, and I had benefited so much from doing improv for about 15, maybe probably 10 years at that time. in town. And my years are off. But anyways, like 2010, I decided to start a small improv group that anybody could show up to, just basic beginner's improv. You didn't have to be I always had to take theater classes in order to do improv. And a lot of people need the benefits, I feel, of, and I would teach people these benefits of listening, being in the moment, not giving a crap about what other people think of you, and just letting yourself make mistakes and being okay with it. And so I felt that those were beneficial to people in the community. So I started a community group that anybody could show up to, 7 o'clock at the Arlene Francis Center every Monday. And they've been running for 13 years, with or without me. I show up.
Yeah, I've been there and I've enjoyed myself when I've gone.
Yeah.
And basically it's free, but a $5 appreciation is gratitude is taken. And it's a group of people that are a combination. Some are like Matlock. They do performances and they put on shows. And so they're in the business. But I want to go back to something I learned early on in improv, mm-hmm. because you and building structure on it. And it was at the 8th Street Playhouse this class. Mm-hmm. And I'd taken another class at Santa Rosa Junior High, mm-hmm. from Linda Lau. Mm-hmm. And so what I learned is that if you set out to try to be funny, it doesn't work.
No.
The funny comes for free.
Absolutely. In fact, if you try, I teach people, if you have a funny idea and you go on stage and somebody else presents a different idea, you have to throw your idea away and pretend like their idea is the
funny.
Hey, we got our first caller. Someone disagrees with me. All right, let the fighting begin.
So, hi, you're on the air. Who's calling? Hold on. I need a slider.
Now I can hear you.
I was trying to call on the phone.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Hey, we can hear you.
Is anybody home? Anybody home?
Yes.
Anybody home?
Yeah, yes. Could you please identify yourself? Are you a homeless person?
No.
No, it's Santa Claus.
I don't know if anybody's home. Is anybody home?
Well, yeah.
Who
that? Sir, this is a private establishment. Are you?
Who there?
Oh, I am. This is Stephen.
Stephen. Who are you?
Stephen Franks. I'm the owner of this private establishment.
Yeah?
This is my home and. Sometimes restaurant.
I know you. I heard you. I see you around. I know you.
Oh yeah, no. You have been passing by my house almost every day, and you say hello when I'm taking my garbage out. Yes. Hi, Stephen. This may I introduce my lovely wife, Linda.
Yeah,
this is Linda.
Hello, Stephen.
Linda, this is Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Oh no, I'm Stephen. Sorry. This is the man. Oh.
Oh.
Do you have a cough? Do you want to come in? Do you need a lozenge?
Is anybody there?
Oh, I'm here.
Is anybody home?
I am home. Yeah, no, this is me. I'm standing in the doorway.
You're home.
Are you Santa Claus? I see there's the red suit and the white beard. You look. You keep saying ho ho ho.
That's nice.
I guess Santa wouldn't do that, actually. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Isn't that nice? That's so nice.
It's very nice. Thank you for petting me. That feels very good.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's... Oh, could you get behind my ear?
Hey, Matlock.
Yeah, Linda.
Why are you talking to this man?
Well, he's scratching behind my ear very nice right now, and he keeps saying his name.
I don't like him touching you.
Well, I do, Linda, and I think I'm afraid this isn't working out between us anymore, so...
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I don't want men scratching your ear.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me what their gender is, but if they know how to scratch, and you've never scratched like this, this feels really...
I'm so sorry.
He's got my leg going. Do you see that?
You don't like the way I scratch!
No.
But no!
Do you mind getting my belly here all right?
You always say you want me to scratch, and then I find out now
you
don't like scratching.
You can learn
like
a thing or two from this man. What was your name? I didn't get your name. Are you? Hello.
I just. 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 I just.
I just thought I'd call, you know, I wanted to call on the phone.
Well, we thank you for calling in.
Just say hello.
And thanks for the scratch. Hello.
Okay. We're going to say goodbye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye. I love you. Linda, why did you make him go away?
Because I thought we had a monogamous relationship.
Well, we never discussed it, but I guess now's the time.
No, it's not the time.
Oh, it's never the time with you.
I know, because we have a monogamous relationship. We don't make time.
You know, if you can't pronounce it, I don't think we should have one.
That's the only kind of relationship I know.
Well, then maybe it's time to learn other types of relationships. I mean, it's not bad to learn. I thought you were open-minded. When I married you, you said that you were open to the idea of perhaps entertaining thinking about other relationships one day, perhaps, mayhaps.
Did you make a promise to me?
I don't remember, did I?
Yeah, we called it a vow. We wrote those vows together.
Oh, I was really drunk.
Yes, you were drunk, but that's why I got all my wording into the vows.
I think
that Judge Judy would love to hear about this.
Okay, well, you did keep me in the basement drinking alcohol for 3 days while we wrote those vows, and I remember you had the priest come down in the basement.
So it's my fault you drink a lot?
Well, you did tie me to the radiator, Linda, and then, you know, the witnesses were the rats, so... I guess we can make this work out. Would you be open to couples therapy, perhaps?
I'm not so sure.
Okay, well, then this isn't working out. I'm going to go and go scratch that man. Let's see if I can catch him real quick and get another
Well, goodbye to you.
Goodbye to you. Goodbye to you. Goodbye to you. I wish we had that song queued up so I didn't have to sing it. Thank you for that. Caller. And yes, it's someone's home.
Yes, that number, if you didn't write it down before, write it down now.
Someone wrote it down.
707-755-9250. And my guest here, his name is Matlock
Zumsteg.
I don't pronounce it correctly.
You say the first name, I'll do the last one.
Okay, Matlock. Do you mind if I call you Matt also, or is it Matlock every time?
No, don't call me Matt. That's my dad would call me that. If you really want me to dislike you, then
I got to play your dad. I feel like I know your dad.
But you know what? That was bad enough. I don't want to have any more resentment to talk about in therapy tomorrow than I already do.
I prefer to look at you as my son than as my teacher.
Okay, well, you know, look at me as your child without a gender lens, and maybe it'll. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Yeah, I know you prefer the they, but that's a challenge for pronoun.
Of course,
for old people like us.
Oh, me too. I mean, I've got 40 years of training in he/she and binary speak, and I'm still hanging out with people and then misgendering them when I don't want to. And I'm trying to be respectful.
So why didn't you guys choose it?
Because why would you want to be an it?
Because like, it's short. It's two letters. It's easy to remember.
What's two more
It's like
letters?
He, and the she is already three letters, but this gender-neutral they, which is already being used in the plural sense,
right.
You want it now in the royal sense.
Right.
So give me a break, Matlock.
I've read literature that's referred to they in reference to one person gender. It does make things confusing. I've had this conversation with an ex-partner of mine where it's a matter of they weren't very well read, and so they weren't used to seeing it used in that kind of way, and they it's just a matter of practice
or culture and how quickly it can change
Absolutely.
Or not change.
Yeah.
Hey, we got another caller.
All right.
This is exciting. Hey, caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Linda.
Hi, Linda. Hey,
Linda.
Oh, my goodness, it's my wife.
Ooh.
No, I'm Linda Dew.
Sorry.
Linda Dew.
Thank you. Hi, Linda Dew.
Hi. But my friends call me Mary anyway.
Oh, okay. How come they do that?
Well, because my middle name's Marigold.
Oh, that's a beautiful middle name.
Yes, but they call me Mary.
Nice.
Hey, Mary, do you have some first line you'd like to get us started with?
Well, I had a question for you because I was listening very intently to your thing that you did before, and you were talking about something that really upset me because you said that paper cups come from trees and trees are living beings, and you have to kill the trees, and you don't like that because they're living beings. Did I get that right?
Well,
you know, I didn't like his casual attitude about the paper cup, and I wanted to put it in perspective.
Well, what is the perspective?
Well, let me offer something crazy, and that is that if we stopped using paper cups, we wouldn't have any more extinction.
That was the premise.
Well, what about cows? Those poor cows out in the field? They're all wet and they're big, and we kill the cows. People kill cows to eat them.
Someone killing one right now. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I don't think the cows are the problem. I think the paper cups are a bigger problem than cows.
What?
You know what's even worse is the paper cups that are made out of cows.
Yes.
No. I love cows.
The leather cups, the leather disposable
cups made out of cows.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I need to have that meat, and I like the milk, and I like the cheese.
Oh, here, I'll cut it all for you. Hold on, let me kill this cow. Okay.
My late husband said rationalization is the key to happiness.
Oh, what's the key to happiness?
What do you mean? I think eating the cow is honest.
If you want to do something, you just rationalize it.
Right.
And then you're happy, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, what's the problem there? I mean, as long as you're happy.
What's wrong with eating people after they're dead? There's lots and lots of people who die every day.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, they could be preserved.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
I never thought of that.
Turned into stews and stuff like that.
Have you ever seen Soylent Green?
Right there.
Has anybody seen Soylent Green?
No.
Okay, well, it's a fabulous documentary.
I've seen Toilet Brown.
I
think you guys are too serious right now. We want this improv to not be serious.
I want to
put in a word for cows because I'm part of the herd now here on Cows Radio, and I'm a carnivore, and I love my meat. I love the animal products, and I want to honor the cow, and I want to be grateful that it has a big part in my life, and this idea that it's farting methane really pisses me off.
Yeah, screw those cows always farting methane.
Well, you know, methane is unfortunately even stronger than the carbon dioxide, but who's counting that? We don't count the methane. Well, so do you ever hear of 150.org for methane? We had 360.org for carbon dioxide.
We need to thin the cow population.
When I was a kid, I used to like to eat the paste. That was pretty tasty.
Oh, I still eat paste.
Yeah.
Well, you aren't one of those vegetable eaters, like vegan.
Is paste a vegetable?
What's a vegan?
Vegetarian?
What?
What's a vegan?
Okay, well, never mind. I was afraid I was talking to a vegan and offending them with my carnivoreness.
Oh, of course. No, you know, we need to thin the cow population. That's what I've decided, is that if we need to, there's too many cows.
No, there's too many people.
I'm for more cows, less people. I vote for less everything.
So there's less and less people all over the place.
Wait, where are you doing this? What did you say?
I said people are having a lot less sex these days, so the population is actually starting to go down, ain't it?
And you know that people can actually have more sex now that they're less fertile because of all the poisons and stuff, so that's actually a good thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Population problem, don't it?
I got to get out there. I didn't even realize I could be having more sex, but it's true. I am having less sex.
So that's the good side of all these toxics that get into our environment. I celebrate them.
Nobody talks about the benefits of toxins.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's about time because Rachel Carson and her Silent Spring needs to be said out loud.
You know, not since the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have there been people to stand up for the rights of people who need
toxins.
Of cows!
Yeah, I'm standing up for cows. Are you with me, little caller?
I'm standing up.
I'm standing up for the rights of turtles.
I'm just standing
cattle. Up. Oh, that's even
turtles,
better than cows.
Turtles!
Oh, turtles. Not cows.
How about all animals?
What?
Do you think we humans can share this... What is called a planet turtle or something in some languages?
What's that? It's on a dog-eat-dog world out there. Everyone's out there for himself.
Yeah,
take care of myself, who's going to take care of me?
Look at our government. I mean, everybody that we look up to in our society is just sort of trying to be number one and compete. So we've got to beat them.
Yes.
What are you talking about? There's only one number one, and that's our president. And today is President's Day, so I'd like you not to defame my president.
Okay. I'm saying he's a hero in the eyes of the world that we live in the bubble of in our country.
You know, he's doing more to serve our planet than anybody else on Earth.
He's eating more cows than any of you.
Well, that's not... what I'm talking about. I'm saying
that's a benefit.
I don't know of anyone else that can bring down the global economy.
What about cows?
That won't do it.
You don't think cows can bring down the global economy?
Well, not all at once.
With enough methane, I think they could.
My president can do it quicker.
Yeah, he's got a lot of methane, too.
He's got a lot of people who believe in him.
Yeah, and they give off a lot of methane.
What? Oh, it's time for my meds. I'm sorry. I gotta go.
Yeah, I need my methane meds, too.
Okay,
well,
bye.
Thank you for your call. We really appreciate your point of view.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, bye-bye. Marigold.
What a beautiful middle name.
Was that the same caller with a different voice?
I don't know. They're really good if they do. I mean, they had me convinced. I think at one point I was like, I was expecting them to say,
I paid a couple
home.
Of guys to call, and I think they think that they're getting paid by the call, but they're only getting paid for the day. I don't have very much money.
They're going to keep calling when the show's over and then charging you for it.
Oh, I haven't had so much fun talking ecologic bullshit for a while. Thank you, Matlock.
Enlightening.
To our listeners, let's take a real quick break here. If I can pull the right fader up, and don't talk because their fader's staying up.
COWS is underwritten in part by the Occidental Community Council. The council strives to meet the unmet needs of the Occidental area, and the public is invited to its meetings every third Saturday of the month at 10:30 a.m. at the Occidental Community Center in downtown Occidental.
COWS thanks Molesbury Market for their underwriting support. Established in 1959, they are family-owned, located in the old Redwood Highway in the Larkfield Center. Their website, molesburymarket.com. Molesbury Market tunes into the roots of rock every Sunday morning at 7 on COWS Community Radio.
So, Mike, this is Ecologic, and today we're having a crazy show, and it's improv, and it's with my friend Matlock, and he can say his own last name because I blow it.
Zumstag.
Well, he told us about having created this Monday evening show, and I don't want him to go through the whole spiel again, but it's at 7 o'clock tonight, and where would people show up?
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, wait, yes, it is. Sorry. Yeah, 7 o'clock for the... Sorry, I've got...
You got too many promos.
Too many things to promote. Yeah, no, Evil Comedy happens every Monday night, and it's happened for 13 years now at 7 p.m. on Monday nights at the Arlene Francis Center, downtown Railroad Square, 99 6th Street in Santa Rosa.
Let's get a on next to the railroad square, on the railroad street, on 8th Street, that kind of thing.
It's
on the west side.
It's on 6th Street.
6th yeah. Street, yeah.
It's on the west side of the freeway, 99 yeah. 6th Street. It's yeah. over in Railroad Square.
Yeah, I got lost coming into that parking lot. But you can just drive up,
next to
get there by 7 o'clock, mm-hmm. go in, and they'll welcome you.
Yeah, you can sit and watch if you don't feel like participating. Most people come and they watch, and then they end up wanting to participate.
I know. I promise you, if we have a good show today, I'll come tonight.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
but,
well, I should do a bad show then. I really don't want you to be there. So,
no, I'm hurt.
Kidding. you're welcome to everyone.
Okay, enough about tonight. You're dying to talk about this show that you have created and are producing, and you want to tell people about it, and you've got 1 minute.
Okay, well, I produced shows for about 18 years in town, improv comedy and different kinds of live performance shows, and me and one of my partners in crime, Steven Anderson, are putting on a show called Oscars Wild. It's happening this Saturday, February 21st at 7 p.m. at the Arlene Francis Center, again, 99 6th Street, Santa Rosa. It's $15 at the door, but it's no one's turned away for lack of funds, so if you don't have it, just come anyway. We've got stand-up by Oliver Graves. The show is Oscar-themed, so it's all going to be movie-themed suggestions from the audience. And
I want to dig a little deeper. What is the message that your theme, what is motivating you to put your heart and soul into this program?
Well, it's the first show I've produced in 5 years, and I stepped away from producing because of COVID. My last improv group fell apart because of that. We couldn't put on shows, and then I lost both my parents, and I just didn't have the heart in me to produce or put up the amount of work I was putting into the shows that I had been. So this is also, it's kind of a rebirth for me.
Yeah.
I've worked my way up to wanting to produce again, and having a partner like Steven Anderson, who's just one of the funniest guys I know, and has been a great friend of mine. And this is our first project that we're working on together as a team, and we're going to do many more after this. So
that excitement is spilling over, and
yeah,
I love that excitement, and I'm
There's
glad
too, but
you brought it here to Cows Radio. So can I ask you something?
Yeah.
If our system collapses, which could happen where, you know, everything closes, the money is worthless, and you know.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you would say?
I'd say.
Say it as a character, please.
First I would get my blood bag on my giant hot rod, and I'd drive through the desert, and I'd say, "Witness me!" Sorry, that's a Mad Max reference. I would go Mad Max. First thing out the door, I would just throw my clothes off, throw on some leather straps, shave myself a mohawk, and just look as crazy as possible. And
Mad.
Yeah, just as mad.
Matlock Max.
Matlock Max, yeah.
And Matlock Max would eventually run out of fuel, right?
Oh, I think, you know, a lot of what doesn't work about apocalypse movies is gas would not work, and you couldn't really produce it very well. So, like, they show people driving around in the apocalypse, but the gas would go bad after 6 months or something, I believe.
So at some point, you get off of this
Right, you have to
this
do
vehicle.
Solar or something. I don't know how you would have a really cool apocalyptic solar.
Oh, you want a solar escape vehicle?
Yeah, like a solar, dune buggy to drive through the desert.
Where would I go to buy one?
I don't know. You'd have to develop the solar technology after the apocalypse, unless it exists.
Huh?
Find a solar car.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
Nobody's developed a solar car yet.
Are you crazy?
I don't know. Are we doing a scene? We're doing a scene.
This is Mad Max.
So let's start the scene. Hey, Larry, did you hear the apocalypse happen?
Bernie Matlock.
I know, but
we're doing a scene.
This is a scene where your name is Larry, though, but you could be Bernie. You're saying no, but you need to say yes, and. If I say you're Larry for the rest of the show.
Well, excuse me, Professor Improv.
I am your teacher. You will listen to me. Say
okay.
Yes.
I'm Larry. I'm Larry.
All right, Larry, hey, check out my new dune buggy. I made it for the apocalypse, and it's solar.
Wow, how hot that is.
Thanks. I knew you'd like it. You always had a thing for me and dune buggies.
Can I borrow it?
Well, I don't have.
Because something's happening that I need it for right now.
Oh, well, there's a lot happening. It's the apocalypse. I mean, planes are flying out of the sky and stuff. What's so important you need my dune buggy?
Well, I got to get someplace.
Oh, that does sound important. Here, take it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Do you have an extra gas can?
Oh, yeah, I only have the one. Do you need it? I scrounged this up. It took me a week to scrounge all this gas.
I'll pay you for what's in your backpack. I'll give you all my money.
Oh, well, money's worthless now because the apocalypse.
Well, no. Yesterday, I could still get the money.
Well, that's fine. I could grab this. There's a pile of it right here.
But this is real money.
Yeah, but
look at these $100 bills I got.
The system collapsed.
Oh, come on. You know what this $100 bill means?
It means...
You can fool somebody else.
It was made from paper from a tree.
Yeah, but it's been fooling people, but I know that. But now it could fool even some more people. So it's going to be... You're going to make money at this.
Listen, Larry, the bottle caps are what everybody's into now because they're shiny. So that's our new currency. Do you have any bottle caps?
I'll tell you what. I'll give you the bottle caps if you give me a full bottle.
So you're saying you have bottle caps on you?
Well, you give me the full bottle. I'll give you the caps. I promise.
Give me all your caps. I've got a gun to your head, Larry. Give me all your caps. Where are they? Tell me where the caps are.
You're going to have to... follow me because I have them in a safe place.
Okay, no quick movements. All right, I got the gun at your back. All right, show me where the bottle caps are. I know, I'm sorry, Larry. I know we've been friends for 20 years, but I really need those caps. Keep walking. Where are we going?
You know, I'm an old man. I can't walk fast.
Larry, I need to
walk fast. Wait a minute.
Fast,
I need to sit down right here on this stump.
Is this where the caps are?
No, it's just as far as I can go right now.
All right, Larry, look at that cow over there. You want to see something? You want that to be you?
Do you have something we can start to cut up that cow with?
Well, I actually have a bunch of butcher knives right here on my belt. Do you want? Yeah, that sounds. It smells good.
You sound like a nice man. I should know.
Well, we've been friends for 20 years, Larry, and you should know me. I established that earlier in the scene, but if you've forgotten, I understand. I mean, I put a gun to your head, and
well, you scared me.
All
I wanted to do is take your dune buggy.
Yeah, and all I wanted was all of your caps, or else I'd kill you. But we're at an impasse now. I feel.
Well, I think I'm going to hold on to the caps. Here's your dune buggy back.
Oh, did you just
good luck with it.
I can't believe you fit it in your pocket like that. That's amazing. I know I made the dune buggy myself, but I didn't realize I could fold it. That's just amazing. Yeah, well, I'll see you later, Larry. I'll get those caps from you next time.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. In that instance, you could say, no, you won't. I don't know. You're still agreeing that, okay, scene.
Stop being my professor.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry. This is why I don't teach anymore. See what happened to Bernie?
He's not a good student. He never has been.
Yeah.
He keeps learning the wrong lessons.
He can't even pronounce my last name. How many times did you take my class once? It was did you only go through it once?
Or it was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think you took it
a couple months ago. No, I'm kidding.
It
was like 10 years, 20 years ago.
Well, it's like you never.
How old are you?
45.
Well, it must have been when you were a teenager.
Yeah, it must have been. I mean, considering how we're doing today, I would say that, you know, maybe I was still a fetus when I taught you.
Told me I was doing a good job at the time. That's what I remember. But I think he was lying to me.
I was talking to the person behind you. You kept stepping in front of them. And every time I'd say, you're doing a really good job, you'd step right in front of my finger.
Well, when I hear that, I try to intercept it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
That works. Like I say, I like hearing what I want to hear.
And you were good at intercepting it compliments. That was the one thing that you were always the best at, was intercepting other people's compliments.
Yeah, and avoiding their critiques.
Yeah, you'd step out of the way whenever I'd say, Bernie, you're doing this wrong, and then you'd step out of the way, and I'd be pointing at somebody else. You'd put somebody in your place.
Well, yeah, I took a Dale Carnegie course.
And oh, yeah.
That's what I learned there. He has some golden rules in that if you can always put a buffer between you and an enemy, that's a good thing.
Especially if it's another person.
Oh, a person, a chicken, a cow, everything works.
A chair,
yeah.
An empty chair.
A gun.
Yell at this. A gun, that works the best, actually.
I'm afraid of those things.
I was asked recently if I'm more scared of knives or guns. What would you say you're more afraid of, a knife or a gun?
It's like, pick your poison. How do you want to be harassed?
I mean, like, what if you were going to see one thing before you died and it was a knife or a gun, which would you be more scared of seeing?
I think the knife, because I think there's more hurt with that than
the close range, too. And it's probably going to take a while before it kills you. A gun, there's a good chance that, like, you're not going to be dealing with your assailant for minutes afterwards.
Yeah, and if I was watching that, mm-hmm. I would say, well, good, 8 billion minus 1.
Yeah, right. I would be like, thank you. You're doing planet a favor.
Yeah, it's not enough that all these old people are living forever, you know.
We never thank our murderers in this country. It's such a shame.
Well, it's not just them. The evil people are these medical people who earn a living by helping these old people live longer.
I know.
In agony,
and what
in a warehouse where they're not happy.
What a waste.
But they make money at it, and the real estate for where those people are being warehoused.
Oh, my gosh, what a waste.
It's like a detention center.
All that money tied up in rest homes could be going to corporations and businessmen.
And ICE could use those facilities.
Absolutely.
And we could reduce it even more.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody is speaking it like it is. Like,
and then we could save the planet. And that's why on this President's Day, I want to thank Donald Trump for helping to save the planet.
And I want to thank murderers and Nazis for thinning out the human population, because that's really the problem, is there's too many of us. I mean, we don't thank our murderers enough.
Well, we could look back and read Darwin again, because I think we've misunderstood him.
I think
keeping everybody alive was never how the evolution process works best.
Right, it's adaptation. And how do you adapt if nothing's attacking you?
Well, there are winners and there are losers in evolution, and it's not preordained that there are good ones and bad ones. There are fit ones, and sometimes the fit ones have to cull the herd.
Or there's the hiders. There's the ones who hide well enough that the fit ones, and it never bother them.
So that's a nice niche if you can get it.
Yeah, find yourself a little niche, dig yourself a niche, hide in it, and wait for everything to be over, and then come out of your little bunker.
Isn't that how it is right now?
I mean, for a lot of rich people with bunkers, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, don't you live in a hide and safe space?
Oh, I live in a very low and unsafe space, actually.
Really?
Under a bridge. That's it's because I'm a troll. I mean, it's really where I'm most comfortable.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. We got a lot of rain these days.
Yeah, and there's billy goats all the time, but I don't pay them any mind. I really don't pay attention to billy goats nowadays.
And do you drink from the Santa Rosa Creek?
No, too much urine. I drink my own urine. There's less urine in it.
Oh, my God. Who have you been listening to?
What are we doing?
It's okay, though. That's what we're about today.
You said there were 7 words I couldn't use on air, and I don't think
I've
used
you haven't said them.
So I've said everything else.
Don't even try.
I drink your urine. I said, did I say masturbate?
But,
I did. Okay.
It's time for me to give you some radio advice.
Okay.
Keep your mouth by the microphone, buddy.
I get loud. I think I'm doing you a favor by not laughing.
I'll handle the loud with the fader.
Okay.
Right now,
I'm not going totally gone.
Yeah, but I'm in charge of the fader, not you. I've got it at maximum.
Okay.
And I'd like to have
you don't
some play
need me right next. Okay.
Well, I'm going to bring it down if you come a little closer.
Okay.
I'll be happier.
Right. How's this, Bernie?
Oh, that's so sweet.
ASMR.
Thank
are
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Are you feeling ecological?
So, this show is ecologic, but it's not about a climate update. It's about some improv about when collapse starts to happen, about when we're on the road to extinction. These things are totally serious, but I've been talking about them in a very serious way for far too long, and every time I do, nobody wants to hear about it. So I thought, well, let's give improv and comedy a chance, and Matlock.
Thank you.
They are playing along just brilliantly.
You're doing wonderful, Bernie.
Well, it's a release for me.
Absolutely.
So help trigger me some more, buddy.
Well, actually, can I comment on what you just said? I find comedy to be a great way, and satire to be a great way to communicate ideas across the aisle. Because if you can connect with someone on a human level and make them laugh, they're more open to hearing what you have to say or you sharing your thoughts. If they're not judgmental, but they're more observational and about a shared human connection, right? We fight about all the specifics, but if we throw away all the dogma of our belief systems or whatever and come together as humans and connect on a human level, we all have the same pains, the same ways we suffer, and there's ways to connect that we
that
are...
ad has been brought to you by the capitalist Matlock,
the capitalist.
who makes money on selling
time,
this line to us all the time,
somebody to have yeah, love for
so
their
this
human,
sounds like a sales bucks. Job for comedy. Do you think comedy needs a sales job?
No, absolutely. My dad was a salesman, so I feel like I need to sell comedy to people because that's what I do.
Well, the poor man, you should pity him because he believed in God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that constrained him a lot.
For my dad.
You know,
right.
I'm sure. Well, we're getting into all of these sacred cows, but we are about cows here on Cows Radio. So, Do you have other sacred cows that you don't do comedy about?
Oh,
because we could end that right now.
Yeah, you know, I've had arguments with comic friends about use of the word retard, and I don't like using that word even just now to say it, but I don't want to have to beat around the bush about what the word is. I've had arguments with them where they believe that it should be reincorporated and reestablished as something you can use as a descriptive term in a comedy act. Like, you should be able to say it if you want. And I feel like there's so many other ways to say stupid. And the argument on their side is, well, it doesn't mean someone who's mentally, who has a mental handicap or something. It could mean just stupid. And I said, yeah, but 99% of the time when I've ever heard it, it's to compare you to somebody with a mental handicap.
I think that's a problem.
Why not just say dumb, stupid, ignorant, whatever, and not use that word?
Can I speak to the broader issue?
Sure.
That there is a part of our culture that is really attached to the meaning of words and the hurt that they can cause and the potential, and they want to, even though believe in free speech, want to curtail it into polite speech. And I find that is annoying because different cultures have different ideas of what is appropriate speech.
Right.
So if we really want free speech, we need to have diversity of speech and not be telling people that word offends me.
Well, there's nobody saying you can't use it. There's just people. I disagree. I wouldn't use it myself. I'm not telling people they have to stop using it. I'm saying I don't think that you're going to get, at least for the audiences I play, I think most of my audience would not appreciate me using that word.
Well, so, I think I've seen you do improv and you act like a retard.
Yeah, I know. I can do that. I can act like one because I am one.
But you can't say it.
Yeah, but I don't.
Yeah, but
not,
isn't there something wrong with that?
I'd rather not propagate it. It's like, why not cull out things that you don't think
so
are...
you like the language rules of the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can evolve, and you can evolve your humor, and it doesn't mean you have to make everyone else change their humor, but I think that you will stand out if you show that you're being respectful to your audience. And number one, when I put on a show, I'm trying to give the audience the best experience they can have. They paid money, and I'm making sure they can.
Our listeners today haven't paid a cent.
Oh, I know. But
so they could get the whole show.
That's why I haven't given a crap about this entire show.
There you go.
Nobody's paying me.
That's more honest.
That was in my theme song, remember? It was it's free. It's so cheap, it's free.
And so. I'm going to record that. And do I have a publication rights on that?
Absolutely. You can use my voice for AI.
As long as I give credit,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And use my face and my voice and make AI and just have me be your new